Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Now, Charles, I got to be honest with you. It did not look like you were having a very good time last night with your video that you put out on Twitter at the airport. How are things going this morning?
I spent 7 hours at the airport to go nowhere. I am in Houston this morning with about 5 hours of sleep, which isn't too bad considering how everything went last night. But you never want to be tested, man. It's the airlines that will come through. Every time. So I'm all right, though. No big deal.
I mean, the weather looked intense from the video you put out there, I will say. Can't believe they let you guys get on the plane.
Yeah, it was. We literally got on the plane. We taxied out, and then the captain came on and said, you know, there's like 12 planes lined up. There's a huge storm moving in. We have to get off the runway in, you know, like within an hour. And I was like, yeah, it seems doable. Meanwhile, you know, you open an app and I have like a weather, live weather app or whatever, and I'm watching it come in. I'm like, this doesn't seem like it's gonna happen. And then finally when it hit, yeah, it was crazy. Like the plane was rocking and, you know, it was pretty wild. You know, lightning, thunder, crazy, like just the way it was raining for it to be able to move the plane like that. I was like, there's no way we're getting off this. But then it took forever to get back to the gate. We get back to the gate, we're thinking, oh, we're all going to get off. And we literally sat at the gate for at least an hour, hour 15. You know, people are starting to yell, like, let us off the plane. Jeez. The captain finally had to announce, like, there's no gate agent to, like, extend the bridge and let you off the plane. And finally, literally under the four-hour mark of sitting on that plane, they let us off. And then they're like, you can't get off the jet bridge. And I'm like, this is... Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. And the funny thing was, I'm like rebooking. I'm on the jet bridge rebooking. And I'm talking to someone. It took me like 40 minutes to get somebody on the phone. And they're like, yeah, that flight's canceled. You know, let's rebook. And then as we're walking out, we finally get out into the concourse. The agent that finally let us off the plane is like, the flight's not canceled yet. Everybody hang out. And I'm like, they're lying. Because I just talked to somebody at United, said the flight's canceled.
Escape everyone. They're lying.
Yeah. I'm like, at this point, it's like 12. I mean, it's well after midnight Michigan time. I was flying back to Michigan. And I'm like, how are you going to send people to Michigan, have them get off the plane? Let's say if they had thrown us back on the plane right then, you wouldn't have gotten to Michigan until like 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, where are people going to get cars? Like, where? Like, I mean, like, my no offense to Hertz, but I don't know a Hertz that stays open until 3:30 in the morning.
It's a late one.
So, yeah, it was pretty entertaining. So I'm glad I got back home and got into bed. So I'm fine.
Well, Charles, speaking of being delayed, it looks like DeAndre Hopkins is delaying his signing. What do you think of that transition right there? What do you make of how this has played out with DeAndre Hopkins to this point, and where this is all headed in your mind?
I mean, I don't think he's delaying it. I think the teams are delaying it. I think that what we talked about the last couple of weeks, you know, has come to fruition, which is the money's a problem, you know, given where he is at this point. And let me put it this way. When you have to get on your social media platform and, you know, whatever your chosen social media platforms are and say, hey, whatever wide receiver group I come to, I promise I'm going to help you and make your life easier. I was kind of like, is he talking to Stephon Diggs? Like, who's he talking to when he says this? Like, who's upset thinking this is going to be someone who's going to come in and not, you know, help the wide receiver position? Like, in my mind, that's what I thought. Because I'm like, why are you kind of, I guess, selling yourself to the other wide receiver rooms. Like, what wide receiver? And honestly, like, no offense to Treylon Burks, but I'm like, he doesn't need to sell himself to Treylon Burks, okay? He doesn't need to sell himself to anybody on the Patriots in the wide receiver room for the Patriots. So that's what kind of struck me. I'm like, okay, if he's kind of selling himself like that, like, to me, maybe the Browns, you know, they have a pretty packed wide receiver room, Amari Cooper, you know, maybe it's the Buffalo Bills because of Diggs and, you know, whatever it was that happened with Stephon Diggs, which I think what really happened was just kind of a talk about what his role was in the offense and how he wanted his role to continue to be emphasized. And again, that's just me reading the tea leaves, but I think it's all breaking down the way we thought it was with DeAndre Hopkins. No one's in overdrive to run out and sign him, especially not for the number that Odell number that's out there, you know, 15 million plus incentives. And, you know, I think I said last week, there's a possibility that this gets to training camp or close before, you know, anyone really circles in with him, or unless the numbers change. But I heard other analysts saying, like, oh, this, you know, when he got into the Patriots facility, he's not going to get out of the Patriots facility. And, you know, I think something's going to happen quickly. And then it ended. And then it was like, again, I heard analysts like, oh, is, you know, the next is really going to heat up now in the next like day. I'm like, who are you talking to? Because that's not what I'm hearing at all. I'm hearing it's just a lot of, you know, visits. People know what they're getting. No one's unfamiliar with the product at this point on the field. It's just about finding, you know, the right number for the reality of the player. And, I don't know. It's been a really, really interesting one. But I could be wrong. I'm going to continue on what I said last week. I still think this is something that's going to drag on for a while.
What about the Chiefs with him, Charles? And, you know, I know that they haven't done the Chris Jones deal yet, and, you know, that can change things for them. But do you feel like they could end up kind of backdooring this and all of a sudden, you know, Mahomes to Hopkins?
Yeah, let me put it this way. There's certainly not an overdrive. I mean, they have not tried to, you know, they have not tried to get him in, and to me, that's troubling. I mean, like, if the Chiefs, in terms of them backdooring it, you know, I think what could happen here is like an Odell situation where we were all like, well, who's going to be first in line? You know, where is he going to go? And I thought, okay, he's good enough that teams will probably line up for like a 2-year deal. And then it didn't happen, and it dragged on for a long time. And then Odell went to the owners' meetings and basically tried to sell himself to teams. And he got lucky in that the Baltimore Ravens, there was a need there. They needed to get something done to make a gesture for Lamar Jackson. They needed to improve the wide receiver room. And really, that ended up being his only suitor. I mean, they pushed it hard. They always, you know, he's going to go on this Baltimore trip, and then he's going to go to the Jets. I talked to the Jets. The Jets were like, we were never in a million years getting close to that contract. They were blown away when they saw the deal that the Ravens put on the table for him. And they had the same thought I did, which was like, look, they're doing this clearly to accomplish a means to an end, which is to get Lamar Jackson back in the fold there. And that's ultimately what happened. Where is that going to happen for DeAndre Hopkins? Who's going to press the issue and say, we got to get DeAndre Hopkins in here? Certainly not Mahomes at this stage, or else it would have happened. And as you said, the Chris Jones deal is going to be a monster contract. They got to get that extension done. You know, Mahomes' money is – it's a factor. It's a part of the reason why they let go of Tyreek Hill. You know, the Chris Jones money, once it's on the books, is going to be, it's going to push him. And, you know, so it's, I think this is a very, very good one for one when it comes to Hopkins and Odell, because you just had guys that, you know, at one point are monumentally talented in their career, have definitely not been where they were at some point in their career, and still fashion themselves as being an upper echelon elite receiver. And teams just looking at them like, you know what, you're 1 year, you know, we're going to pay you 1 year at a time now and see how long this lasts. And, oh, by the way, there's a glut of receivers almost in every single draft now at this point that are a heck of a lot cheaper And, you know, if we're going to pay someone, it's not necessarily going to be a guy on the wrong side of third.
Charles, you know, we're a couple of weeks away now from people looking at the schedules and people looking and making their predictions about what it's going to be. And Joe and I were talking about this yesterday. It's going to be pretty close to unanimous for people picking the Jacksonville Jaguars to win this division right. in the AFC South. How big of a gap do you think there is right now between the Jags and the Titans?
You know, it's a good question because, look, the reason why I think a lot of people, aside from the fact that Jackson won the division last season, you look at the roster, it's improved. They're spending every single offseason improving it. I think, though, a big part of this really is just the thought process that you're going to see Trevor Lawrence continue to take these big steps forward. Remember, we came into last year, we were like, what's going to happen with this guy? Is this a miss? Like, did the Urban Meyer experience break him and he's never going to be the player we thought he was? And then down the stretch, he turned into the Trevor Lawrence that, you know, was the number one pick and the generational player out of Clemson. You know, so I think a lot of people, it's very sexy to go, okay, well, Trevor's going to take that next big step. You know, that's going to be a team that, you know, kind of fixes it or clicks it all into place. The one thing I look at, though, with particularly Trevor and that offense, you know, the wide receiver group there that he's working with, Christian Kirk, he definitely offered more than I thought he could last season. I was surprised. I mean, I got so fixated on the money, I was like, he can never live up to it. But he was a good, solid addition for them. I think for them to take this big step forward where they're just a hammer lock, you know, for the division, you know, Calvin Ridley really has to come in and be that 1A, you know, 2 wide receiver that, you know, everyone expects he was when he was in Atlanta. Remember, Calvin Ridley has been out of the league for a while, you know, a whole year off. It can take some time for a player to get back to where he was. Travis Etienne has to stay, you know, healthy. You know, the offensive line, which, you know, had its problems at times, really has to get it together. You know, and they've had issues. I mean, look at the Cam Robinson situation, issues there, you know, suspension. So, you know, I do think that I get it. I understand it being the sexy pick, but it's not like it's just an absolute automatic that all these things fall into place and there's no question. But, in terms of the gap between Jacksonville and Tennessee, I mean, what are we talking about with the Titans? I mean, how many different things are we addressing with the Titans? They need to stay healthy. They got to be able to continue to run the ball the way that they have. Treylon Burks has to take a huge step forward. What's left with Ryan Tannehill? And if Ryan Tannehill, you know, I guess can't have some elasticity and bounce back to, you know, a net positive over the entire course of the season, if the backup quarterbacks come into play, who is it? Is this Malik Willis stuff that we're seeing? Is this real? You know, does it end up being Will Levis? So, you know, it's a messy division. Let me put it that way. And I would not be surprised if, I don't want to say any of the four, you know, ends up winning this division, but I really have no idea what impact Bryce Young is going to have in Houston. I have no idea what Anthony Richardson is going to end up doing in Indianapolis. You know, I'm a little bit surprised at what I read coming out of Indianapolis and the things that Ursay continues to say and, you know, everything. So it's a division to me that it defaults to Jacksonville because Lawrence is considered that cornerstone generational guy and everybody assumes he's going to take the big step forward. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that doesn't. Remember, I will just mention the Los Angeles Chargers. We've been waiting forever for them to break through and take that huge monumental step forward and dominate, you know, push everybody in the AFC West and Justin Herbert be the, you know, generational player we thought he was. And they continue to befuddle us. So that's all I can say. I mean, we're in June. Ask me again when we're in camps in August.
Well, more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We've got more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association.
All right, Charles, we were talking earlier on the show today a little bit about Todd Downing, and basically based around, like, Warren Sharp had a tweet storm yesterday. You like Warren Sharp? Warren Sharp, good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with everything that he says, and I think sometimes I've tweeted at him about some of the stuff that he's put out there. But, I mean, like, data-wise, I mean, he crushes a lot of stuff. He's a smart guy, you know. I don't agree with every single thing he says, but he's not – I'll put it to this way. Most of the opinions that he has, he's deriving from, you know, either analytics or tape that he's watching. And, you know, at least you know it's not baseless. We're not exactly it's not Craig Carton just throwing stuff out there.
Okay. So there's a lukewarm endorsement. All right, we'll go with that. So anyway, he had a tweet storm about Todd Downing, just, you know, the predictability, which, again, we all saw last year, but the
– Sure.
Probably the most amazing stat was, like, they were number three in, like, pass efficiency on first down, and yet they were, you know, the most run-heavy team on first down. Everybody saw what happened. But ultimately with Todd Downing, 1 year with the Raiders, a lot of stuff went wrong. He came here. A lot of things around him were not good, and that I always defended him to a certain point. I mean, he had a bad offensive group of talent last year. But at the same time, I mean, so far he has been wholly unimpressive, I would say, as an OC, and yet it seems, Charles, like he is within the league viewed much more favorably than he is outside the league, and based on just the data that we have. So why is that?
The data, 30th in yards per game, 28th in scoring average. Stop looking at that data.
Data schmata.
Yeah, right. You know, what's the line that Bob Sugar said in Jerry Maguire? It's not show friends, it's show business. Sometimes it's show friends. I mean, let's be honest. in the NFL, especially with coaching staff, familiarity goes a long way. And, you know, despite obviously the off-field issues, one big thing that helped Downing, especially with the Jets, was that he and Hackett worked together early in their careers. I actually had a chance to talk to somebody specifically. I mean, it wasn't specifically about his hire, but it wasn't long after his hire. I was a little curious about it. And, you know, it's basically what I was told was Hackett's comfortable with him, thinks that he works well with younger quarterbacks, was not going to hold, you know, they felt like, look, as you said, the surrounding pieces with Tennessee were not always the best they could possibly be. But, you know, Matt Stafford early in his career worked with him and had good things to say about him. You know, Derek Carr, despite struggles at times, I think Derek Carr felt like, you know, they had a good relationship and developmentally he helped. And so, you know, I think that's part of it. But again, it's weird when you go, well, they're bringing this guy who's worked well with young quarterbacks and they have like one of the oldest quarterbacks in the league. I kind of absorbed that as like honestly, a Zach Wilson hire. And people are underselling this part of what's going on with the Jets. The Jets, well, Aaron Rodgers sucks up all this spotlight. And there has been, you know, there have been stories about Zach, and they've asked him, obviously, about the Rodgers situation. The Jets are going to work really, really hard on Zach Wilson over the next 12 to 24 months. They want Rodgers there for two seasons. You know, that's their ideal plan, is this window to just kind of reset Zach Wilson, give him some confidence. And I kind of thought this was part of that hire, was to give him under Nathaniel Hackett, because Hackett's not going to be able to spend time with Zach Wilson. He's going to be completely locked into, you know, Aaron Rodgers 24/7. So there needs to be a young guy on staff, or I'm sorry, a guy on staff who can work with the young quarterbacks, not only in the room, but then outside, you know, when you get out of the meeting room, working on reps on the field, and then just mentally working with them consistently. And from what I understand, that was part of what they liked, that this was a guy who had spent time with some younger quarterbacks who had been pretty prolific later in the career. And the time that he spent with them, you know, like with Carr, he was Carr's quarterback coach in 2015 and 2016. Those were big stride years for Carr. And you know, I think with Stafford, I'm trying to think. I mean, it was early. I mean,
pretty
was,
early, yeah.
Like, what? Yeah, 2010, 2011. You know, 20. I mean, it was like in that window, 2010 to 2013. He was with Stafford, and again, those were big stride years for Stafford. So, the way I view it is they're trying to add a piece that can really spend time and be Zach Wilson's guy pretty consistently. And I know some people are going to be like, wow, that's wild to make this high. But it's the number two pick in the draft. They're not trying to burn that guy. They're trying to take Rodgers, get everything you can over the next year or two with him, season or two with him. And then, as Rodgers even said at the podium, and I think I said this on the show way back when the trade went down, you know, Rodgers said, look, and I'm paraphrasing here, the ideal situation is when I'm done, this guy can come back in, slide in, and be the starter here again. That's it. That's legit. That, to the Jets, that's the big win of this entire thing beyond, you know, what they actually do on the field the next two seasons. So I would just say it's a, you know, there's a familiarity / friendship hire that plays a part in that, but also they brought him in specifically to work with the young guy.
All right, Charles, last thing for you, and I've been wanting to ask you this question for several weeks, and we're going to do it now.
Ooh.
The Detroit Lions have the fourth best Super Bowl odds in the NFC. We know you and Rex Road are very familiar with this team, with this franchise. Are you a believer in Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions heading into this year?
I hope whoever is designing anything on the field in 2023 had nothing to do with that freaking helmet that came out yesterday.
It's terrible.
That they decided was going to be their alternative. I mean, not to go off on a side tangent here, but good God, like, you have everything going for you. You're the kind of the weird darling of the league right now. Everybody loves Dan Campbell. Everybody's excited about how the Lions finished. Oh, you beat the Packers in Lambeau and knocked them out of the playoffs and all these things. And then you take that momentum and you try to throw that helmet that has to be one of the worst I've ever seen. go Lions.
They suck. Just say it.
Momentum, right? Look, I'm not, you got to prove it. I'm sorry. You still didn't make the playoffs last year. You started like crap. Okay. You have to put a full season together. Okay. And I was a big, I liked what they did down the stretch. I liked, you know, I watched Hard Knocks, man, and I hate Hard Knocks. And I watched the Lions one. And I just thought, I hate getting sucked in by this guy, because I was there in Miami. You know, I remember talking to him in Miami. I remember talking to him in New Orleans, right? And it was he had this, at least especially with players, this Vrabel-esque quality. It was like Sean Payton was like, Sean Payton says over and over, you talk to Sean Payton, he's like, he's an offensive Vrabel. That's what he is. And he does have this quality where players really, really want to run through a wall with him. He just never could, you know, get a team to actually break through, especially when he was the interim in Miami. He's done that in Detroit, but, you know, again, I still think you got to put together back-to-back seasons. And you look at the division, though. Okay, what are the Vikings doing now? It looks like they're kind of soft rebuilding. All of a sudden, in the middle of the offseason, by dumping Dalvin Cook, multiple starters gone. You look at the Packers. Who knows what Jordan Love's going to look like? You look at the Bears. We're all assuming a big, giant step forward from Justin Fields. That's a lot of assumption. I mean, all of a sudden, the Lions, you're like, all right, well, they got a veteran quarterback who bounced back last year, really showed that maybe he's worthy of being considered a top half of the league starter. You know, the additions that they've made, some of the young pieces of Jameson Williams can get off suspension and come and actually add something. I get it, but, you know, you got to put together back-to-back seasons for me to believe it. People forget conveniently, you know, what that team looked like out of the gate last year. And, you know, I didn't. And it's great when you win down the stretch when the pressure's off. But, you know, it's I don't know. I covered that team, man. You're never going to get a great,
ownership dictates they're never going to do anything, doesn't it?
That was more of a glowing endorsement from Charles than it has been from Rex Road in this entire time.
No, it was actually very gentle and diplomatic.
About ownership. Yeah, I mean, ownership's – as long as, you know, Joe and I are both, you know, we spent all our lives in Michigan, I spent all my life, and Joe spent a lot of his life in Michigan, and the one consistent reality of the Lions has been ownership sucks. And I legitimately sucks. It's been a terrible run under the Ford family. since they purchased the team and since Bobby Lane went out the door. It's been just one mishap after another. I'll say this about ownership. They put a bunch of people in the room personnel-wise. I was just like, you know, there's so many different oddly fitting personalities here. You get in, you know, like John Dorsey comes in there and, you know, Chris Spielman and some of the different. And then you see this draft and you're like, okay, they get killed for, you know, taking an off-the-ball linebacker, whoever, you know, they thought it was all too high, then a running back who was too small, and they spend all these premium picks that they had on non-premium positions, and you're just like, what the hell are you doing? And I get that. It does not feel like the modern NFL, but what the hell do I know? I mean, I don't know, man. It's just hard for me to accept that the Lions are legitimately going to round into, you know, real Super Bowl contending form. And this is coming from the experience of watching them squander three Hall of Fame players, you know, from my teens on. Barry Sanders completely squandered his career. Calvin Johnson squandered his career. Matthew Stafford squandered his career. And it's not like they have not been talented before and yet not been able to get over the hump. So prove it, and then I'll buy into it.
Charles, get you some rest. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So we got a lot to react to from Charles there. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heater, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Got some tickets to give away to see the music of Led Zeppelin with the symphony coming up at 6 o'clock. It's actually coming up this weekend, so make sure that you're tuned in for that. A pair of tickets to see the National Symphony perform the music of Led Zeppelin at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on June 25th. Big caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the National Symphony perform the music of Led Zeppelin at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on June 25th.
Get the lead out.
Get the lead out.
Dude, I might have to go to that.
I have a feeling that you might end up in there.
I have a feeling I might
find your way
so
there.
So that's Sunday? Am I doing the math correctly? That's Sunday?
That is Sunday.
What time?
Well, I don't know. I can find that out.
Tell me the time. Give me the logistics.
I'll see if
I haven't really gotten the let out in a while, man. Let's get the let out.
Were you satisfied with Charles's bashing of the Detroit Lions in the last segment?
Yeah, he's got to be all diplomatic and, you know, he's got to cover the NFL. And, you know, if we were sitting there over beers, he would have ripped the hell out of the Lions like I enjoy doing on this show. Not saying I'm drunk. You know what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. Someone on the text line accused me of being
they
drunk
did.
Earlier.
They did. I can confirm he is not. It's good stuff.
There's no. Oh, I was just showing this on the camera, but we're not on. Right?
Yeah,
are we on?
We're not.
So. Well, it's been nice to do a show shirtless, though. I mean, this
it really is.
You know, this is.
You
this
tell you've been working
good.
Out too. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It feels good. This is my natural, you know, habitat to be like this. So I'm fine with this.
It was interesting to hear what Charles had to say on Todd Downing and how
the babysitter for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, basically, it's like Zach. Here's Todd. He's going to work with you over the next couple of years here while Aaron Rodgers plays quarterback for us. We'll see how that goes. It is an interesting approach because, I mean, look, we saw Zach Wilson on, if not his best day, one of his best days as an NFL player so far when he played against the Tennessee Titans and they won a couple of years ago. There hadn't been a whole lot of those for Zach Wilson so far in the league. He is the number two overall pick. I think a lot of people just assume that he's a bust at this point and that that's that. But I can see where if you're the Jets, it makes sense to, once you learn and watch Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years, and maybe with the ability that we clearly believe you have, if we took you at number two overall, that you're ready to go here in a year or two when Rodgers is done.
And I do think Charles actually did answer the question that we had, that we asked earlier on the show, and that we asked him, which is, okay, so what is it? Like, what is it about Todd Downing that's appealing?
Right. And
I don't think he gets the job here. If he doesn't impress Vrabel as his tight ends coach, brought him in from outside, impress him as tight ends coach, I think as a coach, as a position coach, interacting with players, things like that, I think he's effective. There is some compelling evidence there about Derek Carr's progress under him as his QB coach, Matthew Stafford's progress under him as his QB coach, right?
Sure.
So this is the kind of role, and that's the thing. We have the title of passing game coordinator, but really that's what it is. It's you're focused on Zach.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Hackett, best friends, reunited, you and Aaron Rodgers, try to bring a Lombardi to New York. Meanwhile, yeah, invested the number two pick. Todd, what can you do to try to unlock this kid? So there you go. I mean, and I think that's a fair thing. Todd Downing is not effective on game day as a play caller. I think that's fair to say. He's also not incapable of tying his own shoes. So can we land in the middle somewhere?
Oh, landing? You want to go back to the plane from Green Bay? Is that what we want to do?
Oh, jeez. 1.5 hours of sleep, huh? And you're still pulling stuff like that. How impressive.
I mean, I made that joke. I made a delayed flight joke of DeAndre Hopkins. I'm on one today,
man. Some big words.
Using some big words today. You're on the program. No, it's going to be – I'm really interested to see how that part of it plays out. The Jacksonville take from Charles Robinson, like, that is the wild part about it. So much of this is Calvin Ridley. Like, Calvin Ridley's coming in, and everybody says, ooh, Calvin Ridley's coming in, and they're going to be really good with that offense in Jacksonville, which I think they certainly can be. But, I mean, I don't know what Calvin Ridley's going to do there. He hadn't played in over a year. And I remember watching him in Atlanta, and he was obviously really good. I mean, it was him. It was Julio Jones. And when Calvin Ridley was on the field, he was really good. But it always felt like, even if he was on the field, it always felt like he was dealing with something. Like there was some sort of nagging injury that he was having to either fight through or deal with. And he usually played, like I look back at 2019, he played in 13 out of 16 games. He played in 15 games in 2020. And he usually found a way to play, but, you know, 2021, he plays in 5 games. He suspended all of last year due to the gambling stuff. I mean, there were concerns about him and injury stuff before all this. So now that he's taken a year off, and he's closer to 30 now, is that just going to go away? Like, I don't know for sure what Calvin Ridley's going to bring to the Jags.
Yeah, it's interesting. We saw a totally different circumstance because of all the stuff that went on off the field, but you certainly saw Deshaun Watson seem to suffer from not playing football for a long time. That can certainly happen. That's a big key, a big swing next year, is if he is like a 1-1A type receiver with – the offensive line upgrades, now they got more depth in the backfield, more depth at tight end. That's an intriguing offense for sure. If not, then I think that the big step forward is less likely. JD from White House on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Hey, Zach, meet Todd. You suck at throwing the ball, and Todd doesn't believe in throwing the ball. This will work out greatly, LOL. Are you being sarcastic, JD?
Hey, Zach, we're going to sling it around out here on the practice field. Me and Corey Davis.
Gosh, that's such a reunion.
It is a reunion up there. Hackett is the offensive coordinator actually having to call plays. He wasn't a very good head coach, so we'll see if he can call plays up there.
For a minute, I was like, wait, and what about Jeremy Pruitt? He was the Giants. That's too bad. Pruitt
and – he's available.
Pruitt and Dooley, right? Pruitt and Dooley together?
Yeah,
they're
together on the same staff.
God, it's amazing.
Shocking that didn't work out.
What a profession.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, all things NFL, on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More on that coming up next. Make sure you tune in June 28th, a week from yesterday, at 6 o'clock. It's draft night in Smashville with myself, Willie Donick, Max Herz, and Chase McCabe live from Bridgestone Arena for the 2023 NHL Draft. NHL Draft powered by International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, and Electronic Express. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Norfolk Tides, a Triple-A affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles, in a doubleheader. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Little Foo Fighters on the program.
Foo Fighters underwater. I did not know that they played. I'm not going to make a sub joke. Not going to make a sub joke. It's not joking material.
It's not.
Holy cow, listen to that. It sounded a little bit better the other night at Bonnaroo.
Where you took Caroline Rex Road.
Rex Road.
To the concert the other day.
Yes, thank you.
Ugh, Thanks to Mark for clearing that up yesterday. Whew. Had a lot of thoughts about that yesterday on my own personal text line.
Did you attend Bonnaroo, by the way?
Yeah, I went Sunday with my daughter. Yeah, with my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter. Her name is Caroline.
Her name is Caroline Rexroad.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was amazing,
and
man.
She's related to Joe.
Yeah, she's my child.
Yes.
Which is, yeah, we won't, yeah. A caller, to give you the backstory, a caller thought that I took Caroline Fenton to Bonnaroo.
Okay.
Interesting Father's Day choice. But yeah,
hi,
man.
Family. We'll see you later.
We're going to have a blast, though.
That sounds like one of those little trips. You've seen the movie We Are the Millers. You just take an RV, you go to Bonnaroo with just a bunch of random people that are not your family. I mean, that sounds about what the storyline was, huh?
Pretty much.
Family, make some chili for me for when I get it back home with Caroline. But no, yeah, it was awesome, and Foo Fighters were amazing.
That's good. Yes.
And they, you know what? I even liked them there underwater. They still sound, I got the riff.
Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I am really interested to see when prediction season comes out, talking season, as our friend of the show, Steve Spurrier, would call it. How many people are picking Jacksonville? Like, what's the percentage of people that pick Jacksonville to win the AFC South? My guest today, as we sit here on June 22nd, and I'm talking more like nationally, because there will be some people here that pick the Titans to win.
Right.
But nationally, I will say 94%. That's my percentage.
I think it's going to be higher than that.
Could be.
I think it's like basically everybody. Because I just – the Colts – the Indy has been the default for people who just – Colts, sure. You know, Chris Ballard. Oh.
Who
genius.
Knows? By the time they get to the end of training camp, I mean, can you imagine what people in Indianapolis are going to be saying about Anthony Richardson?
Yeah.
They say, Peyton Manning, move aside.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthony Richardson's better than Peyton Manning left-handed.
Yeah, it will be. It does seem like the hype can come pretty forcefully out of Indianapolis. But I don't think anyone's picking Indianapolis this year. I really don't. Outside of Indy, I don't think that's going to happen. And I just – I'll be impressed by anyone. Like, I right now, I'm picking the Jags, for example. So the Athletic will have us do, you know, your preseason picks. And right now, I mean, unless we'll see. Like, if the Titans get Hopkins, the one thing that does happen is, like, you go to camp and you're always fooled into some things that don't materialize in the regular season. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though I know that. I mean, like last year at the beginning of camp, first couple weeks of camp, I was like, well, Caleb Farley looks like an NFL cornerback. You know,
he thought Racing McMath was Tyreek Hill.
Well, yeah, not quite that bad. But yeah, I mean, he looked like, and it wasn't just Caleb Farley he was beating, by the way, for the record. And also for the record, everybody who covered the Titans on a daily basis thought Caleb Farley looked good.
It's true.
Also last year in camp, for people who don't remember or don't want to like live in reality. But again, we saw what happened there. So point being, the Titans will probably be appealing. Yeah, as August goes on, as a possibility, but I feel like the Jags make sense as the favorite.
I think so too. I mean, I think you described it. I think you described it pretty well yesterday on Jared versus Joe. Titans are, what'd you say, an 8-10 win team, and Jacksonville's 9-11 wins. I mean, I think that sounds right. I mean, I think Jacksonville should be the favorite. I think Trevor Lawrence is an ascending player. Now, to what degree is he an ascending player? That's going to be the question. Like, is he going to be pretty good? Is that what he is in the NFL, which is pretty good, serviceable. He makes some big plays every now and then, but he's not Burrow or Mahomes or anything like that. Or is he going to get into the conversation of Herbert and Jackson and Allen, maybe to a lesser degree Burrow and Mahomes? Can he elevate to that? Because that's what he was drafted to be. I mean, that's what we thought he was coming out of college. So I'm not saying that he can't be that. I don't know that I've necessarily seen that from him yet in the NFL, but that's what he was certainly drafted to be when he was taken number one overall. He was a quote-unquote generational guy that we talk a lot about.
Yeah, and he hasn't yet been that. I don't think that he's precluded from being that. Like, so far in 2 years, I haven't seen anything that says, oh, there's no way he's getting there, but it's still hard to get there. It's still, you got to see it, and some guys do get there earlier. His first year, you do kind of have to throw that aside. It was interesting hearing Charles talking about Justin Herbert the way he did.
Yep.
You know, because I've kind of looked at the Chargers more like maybe held back by head coach, maybe a little overrated, some bad luck, some bad injury luck too. But it is fair. Like, if Justin Herbert is as great as some people believe he is, like, at some point that does have to materialize in results, right? Like, he needs to carry them more through some of these other things they've gone through. I mean, I feel like he is pretty freaking good, and especially you go back to, like, the Titans game last year. The Titans did a good job for a lot of the game, but then he makes that ridiculous play late, rolling to his right.
Right.
And, yeah. But it's still, like, he's still – people put, like, Herbert with Burrow and Mahomes in some cases, and he should not be, in my opinion.
Well, the people absolutely put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence. And
it's probably closer than we want to give credit for.
Trevor Lawrence beat him head-to-head in the playoff game last year, and I'm looking at the stats right now. Justin Herbert last year, 4,700 yards, 68% completions percentage, 25 touchdowns, 10 picks. Trevor Lawrence last year, 4,100 yards, 66% completion, 25 touchdowns, 8 picks. I mean, there's differences here or there, but it's pretty much the same guy.
And I would argue that Herbert had more run over. They did have the injuries.
They did.
So it's close, I suppose.
Herbert got a nickname. The Prince Who Was Promised is still the Trevor Lawrence nickname.
Are you looking at the Pro Football Reference nicknames?
Yeah. None for Herbert.
How is Pro Football Reference, like, the source for nicknames?
I don't know. I've never heard anyone call Tom Brady the Pharaoh before I saw it on Pro Football Reference.
The Prince Who Was Promised.
That's the worst one I've ever heard. It's so bad.
It's unbelievable.
It's too long. Like, for a nickname, it has to be, like, short and sweet, you know?
Agreed.
Yes. No, but he does look exactly like the Shrek 2 Prince, so we'll give him that. It was also interesting to hear Charles talk about his feud. Apparently, he had a feud with Warren Sharp. I'd find out what that was about.
Yeah, I need to go find. He said they got into it on Twitter a couple times. We'll have to go see. We can Twitter search.
I'll ask him.
See if Joe knows how to do that.
Maybe he can give me something here.
Joe, the NBA
tries to board a plane again.
Joe, the NBA draft tonight. Got Victor Wembanyama is scheduled to go number one overall. He's going to go to San Antonio. Interested to see who goes number two. Right now, the momentum's looking like it's going to be Brandon Miller at Alabama, local product here in Nashville. And then Ben Shepherd. We had Casey Alexander on earlier in the show out of Belmont. Some people have him as a first-round pick. Some people have him as an early second-round pick. Going to be interested to see where he goes. But I like the NBA draft for the draft itself. I think this is going to be a really intriguing draft. I'm also interested to see, are there any big moves, like player acquisition-wise, that happened tonight in the NBA? There's already been player movement. Grizzlies made a deal yesterday. Marcus Smart coming in from the Boston Celtics. Tyus Jones out to the Wizards. So Tyus Jones, who I think has been pretty good for the Grizzlies, is now a member of the Washington Wizards for the moment. And Marcus Smart coming in. But will there be any other big moves tonight at the NBA draft?
Oh, there will be. You know there's going to be something. Yeah, the Smart thing is interesting. I guess it's even from 6 a.m. reaction to now, maybe it's grown on me a little bit. But, man, like, two picks, and then Tyus Jones has done such an underrated job for them of keeping things together when Ja's been out, and he's a shot maker. And I like Marcus Smart a lot. I do. It's almost like you're trying to bring some of the you know, grit and grind era into this team and see what that does for you. I mean, I think he'll be a – it kind of replaces what Dillon Brooks can do for you defensively. Right? But yeah. Also, I mean, he is a good player. I like him.
Nickname of Cobra or Wolverine, Marcus Smart, on Basketball Reference.
Wow. I didn't even know that this existed on these sites.
See, now Cobra, that works.
Pretty good.
I like that.
I've never heard either, but that is kind of cool. I mean, that's a cool nickname. If your nickname's Cobra, that's cool. But, you know, they lose the shot making of Tyus Jones. And, yes, I know the shot selection of Dillon Brooks is awful. But they lose that shot making too. They got to have more guys who can make shots on that team. And adding Marcus Smart is not, you know, he's streaky and he's not a volume shot maker. What's so funny?
I'll have to tell you off the air.
Oh, really?
Tyus Jones has an interesting nickname on Basketball Reference.
And you can't say it on the air?
I probably could, but I'm not going to.
I mean,
we'll get to it coming up.
Who knew that these reference sites.
I'm trying to find somebody out there that's got as many nicknames as Brady. I read Brady's off yesterday, and he's got like 12 of them, including the Pharaoh.
Where do you even find these nicknames? I'm on Basketball Reference.
It's right underneath their name. Anyway, we'll see what happens at the NBA draft tonight and if there are any moves.
Oh, that's cool. You can say that.
Okay.
Tyus Stones.
There we go.
That's kind of cool.
It is cool.
Fine. I mean, Chase just walked in. Did I just make a mistake? FCC violation? I should have listened to you. He's like, wait, what happened?
Oh, beautiful. Looking forward to the NBA draft coming up tonight, and looking forward to still my most hated rival, the San Antonio Spurs, getting a generational player. Maybe the greatest player of all time, according to some.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Hakeem, Durant, whatever. No, Victor. Now, look, I'm excited for, you know, we talk about the regular season being the third most interesting thing about the NBA. Next regular season, watching him play.
It'd be pretty cool.
I'm going to be tuning into some regular season games.
I would imagine they're going to be on TV quite a bit, would be my guess. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your day. We've got Chase and Michelle coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.